This is really unbelievable how the Lord has brought this whole thing together, because this message that I want to give, I'm preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit dozens of times, okay? And this is not one of these messages that it's been 20 years. It might have been a bit, I don't think I've preached on it since we've been here in Christchurch, but I remember preaching on it back in the last church and at Bethel as well. This message is different though. And this message is born out of turmoil. Hear me now? It's born out of turmoil. And Heather had a good yak with me about Ashley's message. And I know Ashley's background of how she was, a lot of how she was brought up. And Heather said to me, and those of you that were that heard Ashley yesterday, this is going to hit you harder. The rest of you will just trust the Holy Spirit. Ashley was brought up to a great degree, almost identical the way I was, okay, in religious legalism. I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and those of you that hear my, have heard my story, I used to go around when I was youth pastoring and doing youth camps and that, saying to the kids, because they were all like me, they were raised all like me, I used to say, and the greatest barrier for me to discovering Christ was the fact I was brought up in a Pentecostal pastor's home, okay? Because you can be in the best church in the world and still have nothing but religion and know-how and not know Jesus from a hole in the wall, okay? And I think to a great degree, one of the reasons I have never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit to my satisfaction, and I don't think I've ever experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit the way I believe it can be experienced, I think one of the main reasons is because I was raised in an environment where it was a doctrine. And this is how it works. And this is how it doesn't work. And if it doesn't work this way, well, it's not really real. Okay? And I don't mean to criticize, but I, you know, we always used to, in the Pentecostal church, and I don't know how Foursquare is, they're far more humble than I was raised, at least from what I've seen so far. Well, them Baptists, and I used to say this on the radio, if you're raised Baptist, because they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it has been my experience, this is just my experience, I'm not saying it's God, they seem to have a much more difficult time stepping into the realm of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and even receiving it because of doctrinal issues. No, the Bible's like this, it doesn't do that, this does that, you know, and we Pentecostals, we would strut because, well, you know, we're not that backward. We got the Bible down pat. Well, I think we're probably just as backward in that we understand it better, but as far as the experience is concerned, okay, we like everybody to believe that we are experiencing it in its fullness. I read the Bible of what the real thing is, and I look at myself and the church that I'm a part of, and I say, we're missing the mark somewhere. Okay. What I see as far as the demonstration of the Spirit's power and the Word of God is nothing like I've ever seen, even in the best so-called revivals that, you know, have so-called happened. Okay. That's an opinion. I'm not saying it's God. I don't mean to be judgmental. I feel, I reserve the right to be wrong. And if some of you feel a conflict while I'm saying this, I want you to react by Jesus, reveal your power to him. Show him the real thing. If I'm out of whack, you need to pray for me that I get back in whack. Okay? Or maybe I never was in whack. Because we talk of outpourings, we talk about so-called revivals in North America. And you know the truth is, especially in North America, not in Asia, not in South America, okay? Not in Africa, but in North America, and more so in Western Europe, the living church of God has less impact on our culture than at any other time that any of us can remember. Okay? That's the truth. When the real Holy Spirit is poured out, the Bible says they turned the world upside down. Governments were nervous. Rulers felt insecure. Okay? I'm sorry if I'm influenced by the biblical record. Okay? I'm sorry if my example comes from the book of Acts. And I know it's a good thing to be positive, but I am so fed up with the hype in North America that's attached with the, you know, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because all it is hype. So this is out of turmoil here, and I kind of look inward, because I live in a culture where perversion is the law. And if you speak against it, there's a guy, and it's this guy, I think it's in Alberta or Saskatchewan, this guy called a male, He wanted to be called a female because he's in transition. Even though every single chromosome biologically in that guy's body says that he's male, he called this guy what he didn't want to be called. He's been fined for $55,000 here in our Canadian courts, okay, in a civil lawsuit. So it's perversion in this city, in this country is the law. Now please, I know there's a side that when somebody enters down that road, there's been abuse, there's been confusion, and you know what? But people that are broken, you take them out of the brokenness. You don't say you're broken and we're gonna pay you to stay broken. Okay? And I don't mean to get political. I'm saying that we talk about this Holy Spirit, and this is the culture we live in. Not only is this stuff going, it's the law! And you better not criticize it. We have widespread state-sponsored murder of innocent children in this country. We have a pornography plague of unimaginable proportions. Okay? 75% of the guys in this room right now are struggling with pornography. That's not a word of God. That is every sample stat of the religious world says that. 75% of us. Okay? Oh, I'm part of the 25%. Okay? I'm struggling with it too. Okay? I don't like it. I hate it. I find it's something that I hate and it's sinful and horrible. Like, God, why am I wired like this? Okay? Don't get nervous. Heather and I talk about this. Okay? So I'm totally accountable to her. That's the way it should be. Okay? Anyway. This is our culture. Okay? And the rich are getting richer, and the poor are being more neglected. Now, it's not all gloom and doom, because everybody talks about how horrible the population thing is. In Western culture, populations are actually decreasing. The only places where they have population explosions right now are people where they don't, are cultures and where they don't kill their babies. In Western culture, we have more abortions than we have live births. We have actually, Western Europe, if it wasn't for the mass immigration from the Middle East and from Asia, would be decreasing in population right now. And so would North America. Okay? I mean, that's a blessing and a curse at the same time. Incomes are higher than they've ever been. If you live in the poverty line, and I've said this before, if you live on the poverty line in Canada, you are richer, you have more material wealth and access to more healthcare and material goods than 90% of the entire world. Okay? That's a fact too. See, I don't want to be one of these preachers that says all hell is breaking loose. All hell is breaking loose, but there's also things going on that kind of bring up a bit of a balance. Okay? So, and you know, there's a lot of prophecy teachers that won't teach and won't say about how high incomes are worldwide. They won't say, you know, like about revivals. I mean, the greatest revivals probably our culture has ever, the world has ever seen are taking place in Africa and Asia right now and South America. Okay? That's a reality. But you see, you get more money from North Americans if you preach what the itching ears want to hear. And the Bible says that they will gather around them a great bunch of teachers to say what their itching ears want them to hear. And people love that stuff. Oh, yeah, tell me more. I'll pay you more. Well, you wrote a book about it? Oh, yeah, more. There's money there. That's a big market. We talked about that last week with the whole prophecy. I'll call it the prophecy cult. But last week's message led me into this message this week. This is almost part two of the second coming. Because the cornerstone verse last week was Jesus saying his disciples, when they wanted to know when you're going to set up the kingdom, when are all these promises going to be fulfilled, and you remember what he said, it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know. And that's the way we sealed the message last week. Not that we're ignorant and supposed to be stupid, but don't worry about that. That's when he says it's not for you to know. He doesn't say turn off your brain and don't talk about it. He says that is not your priority. Okay? Your priority is not knowing all the mysteries of the second coming. Okay? In fact, what did he say? Because that's why I'm speaking this message this morning. It is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own priority. But, in other words, that's not your priority. That but means here's your priority. You know? When we try to tell people, no, don't go this way, but go this way. Okay? So here's our priority. That it's not for us to know, but this is for you to know, and this is where I want to put want you to put your passion. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, don't worry about that. Your priority is you need to get empowered with my Holy Spirit. I got a job for you, and you can't do it on your own. Because a lot of them were thinking, oh, we can change the world now. Because he's risen from the dead. Death doesn't hold us. These guys were hyped. Jesus was alive. Whoa. I may be alive, and you may see the greatest demonstration of supernatural power that you will ever see in your lifetime, but you still can't do what I need you to do. Okay? You have to wait. You need power. You must be empowered. Now remember something else. These guys were not just converts. These guys were disciples. These guys had left just about everything to follow him. He's not talking to immature Christians here. He's talking to people that, you know what? I don't want to be just saved by grace. I believe Jesus can do great things. I believe he can save my family. I believe that he is the answer for everything. That's the bunch he's talking to. That's about everybody in the room here right now. Some of you don't like believing that, but you hang around here enough that you've become that, whether you like it or not. Okay? I'm going to go to John 20 in just a second. Yeah, let's do there now. Okay, look at this. This is before Jesus died and rose from the dead. And with that, he breathed on them, his disciples, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? He had already breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Okay? And yet he's saying to them about a year later, you don't leave Jerusalem until you're empowered. Whatever this was, it was the Holy Spirit. I don't think it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it was some type of empowering. Whatever it wasn't enough for the disciples. Whatever it was, Jesus said to them, no, you stay in Jerusalem until you are empowered. It wasn't enough. They trusted Christ's word. Because a lot of them, they were excited when they came back. He breathed in them the Holy Spirit. They went out. They were casting out demons. They were healing people. And they come back all excited. He said, Lord, the demons are subject to us. People are getting healed. They knew something had changed when he breathed in them the Holy Spirit. But now he's saying, you must be empowered. Now, they didn't give in to, well, I'm okay. I've had the power of God. He's already given me the Holy Spirit. I'm good. No. For whatever reason, I guess they were at the point now that they were believing everything he was saying, no matter how crazy it was. They believed him, and they waited in Jerusalem until he didn't even tell them how they'd know. Well, you'll know when you start talking different languages. Didn't say that. Okay? Now, the prophet Joel said that, but they hadn't kind of connected that later. In fact, Peter doesn't connect that until after it happens. He didn't tell them they'd be all in a room. It would take 10 days of missing work, 10 days of not knowing who's in the playoffs, 10 days of all in a room. I'm sure there's probably 400 when they started, or 500, and there was only 120. Probably everybody that saw him rise from the dead, and they said it was more than 500 in the Bible, okay? Probably everybody was in that room because they got instructions. We need to wait in Jerusalem. Well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. Let's pray. Okay, so they prayed. It's like when this church started. What are we going to do? I don't know. Let's pray. Okay? We didn't know it was going to turn into this. So they get together and they pray. They still don't know. Nothing's happening. Now, you know what? I kind of think in that 10-day period while they were praying and waiting, I kind of think that there might have been some minor miracles that God kept their interest just to keep them there, Hey, so-and-so got healed. Whoa, something's going. Let's just stay here. How are we going to know what's happening? I don't know, but we don't feel right about leaving yet. Okay? And when it happened, it did not have to be explained. They didn't have to conduct a seminar. This is the infilling of the Holy Spirit that God spoke. No. Okay? They never see anything like this in their life. Okay? Like, the story, but it's in Acts 2:4. Like the, it's like the wind and then it comes flung. Oh, what? Did you shut the window? Well, yeah, it just blew open. There's a storm out there. They can hardly even stand up. And then there's fire coming in. Uh-oh. Now we're going to get the building inspector in here because this place isn't up to code. We're dead. Okay. All over the place. And then the fire separates. And it starts. They see it on top of each other. Your hair's on fire. Oh, my hair's on fire. And then they start. This must be God. And whatever's in them, they know something's going on. So they start praising. And they can't even speak their language. It's so powerful, they're going off into tongues, okay? Nobody had to tell them after that, well, that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every one of them knew. Okay? They were just seized. Okay? And they saw something in all their 3 years with Jesus. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him heal people. They saw him rise from the dead. I would suggest they saw nothing like this. This blew everybody away because they were in it. They were part of it. It was happening on the inside of them, you know? I'm sure some of them might have thought they're going to die. You know, and I don't want to degrade the gift of tongues that God has given me by giving you a demonstration right now, because it's not for you. It's for him. Him and I talk like that. I talk in tongues every day. Driving back from that retreat, I don't think I stopped the whole time. Okay? You know why? Don't clap, Carol. It's just for everybody. You're my sweetheart. I'm not rebuking you. Anyway, but look, you know, we clap for the Lord. That's probably what she was doing anyway, right? Okay? It's not for you. It's for the Lord. Okay? That's him and I share that. Okay, it's wonderful. Now, if it breaks out in here on the occasion, we're not going to be intimidated by it. He's in control. He's the Lord, okay? And we want him honored. Now, whatever I have received, Carol just fit in. It was perfect. God wanted you to do that. She just clapped, okay? Good. Maybe to her, that's a sign that God did something to retreat. Whatever he did, it's not enough. It's not enough. Whatever I've experienced, it's not enough. Sin is still winning in this city here. It really is. The church is having no impact whatsoever. Okay? And boy, when I hear hype artists on television getting all kinds of money saying, there's going to be a revival in the land, blah, blah, blah. They're all this militant talk, you know. I want to throw a brick at the TV and say, will you shut up? You know? When we've got leaders in North America trembling at the thought of going against God's law. When we have leaders coming to us, the church, and saying, look, we don't know about this law. Can you give us some spiritual insight in that? Then I'll know we're starting to have an impact, because that's the way it was in the book of Acts. Okay? Those leaders were intimidated. They saw an earthquake happening, a spiritual earthquake happening underneath them. They thought they were in charge. Well, the church made it very, very real. Jesus made it very, very, very real that they're not in charge, and they knew it. And some of them tried to hold on to power, and every time they stepped up persecution on the church, it only got stronger. And Luke uses in the book of Acts, he says they turned the world upside down. Okay? When leaders tremble at the declaration of the word of God out of respect and reverence, the generation that sees that, that's the real deal. And I don't think if you really believe the Bible and if it governs your life, I don't think anybody should think that's happened or they think that we're in this generation until you do see that happening. Because if you do, you're settling for a religious experience and lots of good feelings instead of what this was intended for. Okay? It was intended to overthrow governments. It was intended for miracles. It was intended for people to realize that Jesus is alive. And it's not just people, that there's a bunch of people that believe he's alive. He's freaking alive. Okay? That was the intent. Well, John, you don't have it? Yeah, I know I don't. That's why I'm hungry for it. That's why I don't want second, third, fourth rate. I don't want what I've already seen, which hasn't changed the culture, which hasn't changed the city, which causes people to ridicule Jesus and do this and pass laws where, you know, sin, you obey it or you will promote sin or you're going to get fined or lose your job or worse. The pattern is in the Old Testament. I got out my old Strong's Concordance. Anybody got a Strong's Concordance Bible? You know what they're like? Okay. This chart is in there. And it's a great chart. It shows the kings of Israel and how the righteous ones, they would get in righteous, they'd be blessed, and they'd go up and down, then they get a wicked king, then they get a good king, then they get a wicked king, up and down, up and down, up and down. And whenever they had a righteous king that respected God and sought God, God blessed. Okay? They won their battles. Their crops were wonderful. They built big temples. And then they'd rebel. And then the Hittites would come in and the Philistines and kill people. And then the final one, they kept rebelling and rebelling and rebelling and rebelling. And finally, God says, okay, that's it. I'm wiping you out. Okay? And Babylon comes in and takes over there until Rome takes over like 400 or 500 years later. Okay? They had little pockets of resistance, but God finally said, that's it. I'm bringing judgment. I'm not listening to your prayers anymore. I've given you generation after generation. You have not repented. I am bringing the hammer down. That's Jeremiah. Read Jeremiah. Oh, man. Okay? Our scripture is like that. The pattern is there. Why would God change the way he deals with nations who supposedly know him when this is the way he dealt with Israel? Okay? He does it. He never changes. Best example. Here's the best example. Babylon, okay? We're down in this period now. That's the book of Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar, he's strutting around. I don't need God. I'm the most powerful person around. I can break the law. I'm not... Who is this God? And Daniel comes in, and of course God gives him a dream. And he says, listen, he kills people that can't interpret the dream. This guy's crazy, okay? Daniel comes in, knows he's going to die if he doesn't have it right. That'll put pressure on you. You better know the real God, boy, if you get called in on something like that. You better have more than just a religious experience. You better have more than just hype. Okay? He walks in. Okay, man, I don't want to tell you about this dream. I wish it was for somebody else, but it's not for you. And this guy's known for killing people when he hears what they don't like. He's going to get... By Nebuchadnezzar's track record, Daniel knows what he needs to tell him. And he knows right well that he's going to kill me. Okay, that's what he does when he hears something he doesn't like. But he's true to God. Why? He's got the real deal. And you know what God does to him, okay? Here's the scripture. Where is it here? Post-judgment on Nebuchadnezzar, okay? What happens to Nebuchadnezzar? I got to bring the slide back here. God, you know, if you don't know the story, 7 years, he's like an animal. He loses his mind. He grows feathers on his back. He's eating out in the field, grass like the cows. He goes nuts. Impossible for him to lead. God humbles this guy like he's never humbled anybody. Imagine God doing that to Donald Trump. Oh, let me bring it home for more of you. Can you imagine God doing that to Justin Trudeau? Can you imagine God doing that to Macron, the president of... it's irrespective of your political stripe here. But that's the impact of it. Donald Trump fits it better because this guy was the most powerful man in the world. Okay? I don't know Donald Trump's heart. I don't want to know. Okay? But all I'm saying is, when God has his way, this is what he does. Okay? And look at what happens after the judgment is over. Here is Nebuchadnezzar. Here is Justin Trudeau, Donald Trump, Macron, okay? Theresa May, England. Pick your leader, okay? Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven. Because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. Holy, that's the real deal right there. That is the real deal. I would stand up that miracle to all these, quote, moves of the Spirit that you have to be convinced by the people that are making money off it and getting a bigger church for it, that it is a miracle. This doesn't have to be defended. That's real. That is real. That's what the power of God wants to do. I could care less about political power. I don't care about it, okay? And Heather and Christy, I'm accountable to them, and we talk about this all the time. I hope and pray, maybe I'm not there yet, but I hope and pray I'm finally at the place where I don't have to pastor a big church to feel contented and fulfilled in Jesus. I don't have to be ministering to hundreds of thousands of people on the radio every week to feel I'm in the center of the will of God, okay? I may not be there yet, but I know that's where the real will of God is. I know that what it means to have a real experience where only thing that matters is Jesus, okay? So when I feel myself getting political and wanting to be more built up, I know the source of that. That's the flesh. That's not the Holy Spirit, okay? I am tired of corruption in my life, my motives. I am tired of corruption in the religious world, priests molesting kids, gospel preachers buying more private jets and telling their people that God has told them that they need another jet. I mean, if I start mentioning names, some of you people are fans of these guys. I'm sorry, I reserve the right to be wrong. I don't mean to be judgmental. I think they're false prophets, and I think God's got a special place in hell for them. What do you think of that? I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Okay? I know Philippians 1 says, you know, some people preach out of dishonest gain. Again, Paul said, I rejoice that the gospel is preached. So do I, because I know the gospel is so powerful that it even changes lives when it's communicated through corrupt vessels. Okay? There are people that have gotten saved watching a lot of these preachers. I get that. That's not because of them. That's because of the power of the gospel. That's how powerful the gospel is. And that's what Paul is rejoicing in. This is so great that you could even get saved watching so-and-so. You know? I want to talk about the Toronto blessing, okay? Because some people are connected by that. I was there for a week, okay? I was on their website this week. Please, I don't want to be judgmental. I am grieved by this. On the website, it says, this is the greatest thing that's happened in the church in the last 100 years. And I think to myself, hold it just a second. The greatest thing that's happened in the church in 100 years? Your city is probably the most wicked city in North America. It has the biggest gay pride parade. It had an active lesbian, okay, who took another woman into her marriage bed that she was married to when she was married to a guy, committed adultery, told everybody about it, championed that sin, and your province, particularly your city, thought that she was the best person to lead the province, and come on! Give me a break. I'm sorry, please. But that is blatant hype when you say this is the greatest thing to happen to the church the last 100 years. And people, I got there and I got ministered to, but please end the hype. Please understand what happened in the book of Acts compared to what we settle for nowadays. Okay? Toronto's got a bigger gay pride parade now than San Francisco does. Please, don't turn this around. You're anti-gay. I'm not anti-gay. When I meet gays and when I get talking about them, I want to hug them right away because I love them. They need Jesus. And they're not going to be right until they need Jesus. And we could use a whole slew of them in here because it'd be great for us to love people. Can you imagine gays being so comfortable in this place, being so loved that, well, that's a safe place to go. Okay, it's not about that. It's about the church thinking that they're so great and wonderful when the world's going to hell. I mean, come on. Hell trembled in the book of Acts. Hell was scared to death. Hell was afraid to move because the church had so much power. And it was a political power. These people were humble. You'd kill them and they'd smile at you. You'd take away their house, they'd pray for you. You know, you'd separate the parents, they'd be singing hymns. Why? Because they were martyrs. Okay, there were his witnesses. They were empowered with something that was more powerful than them. We can't pull this off. I can't pull this off. But I know that power is available. How do I get it? I don't know. But you know what? If I'm hungry for the rest of my life for the real deal, I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't. Okay? And if you're not going to be with me, okay, maybe I'm nuts, you know? But I can't live any other way. Okay? I know what God's capable of. We have more abortions, and particularly Toronto's got a higher rate than any other city in Canada. They have more abortions than live births, and you're telling me this is the greatest thing to happen to church the last 100 years? Man, go on a trip. Go to South America. Go to Seoul, Korea. You know, go to Africa. Right now, okay, I guess it was 6 hours from now, in Nigeria, and Sufu knows that, they got spirit-filled churches, and they seat 70,000, and they're packed out 3 times on Sunday morning, okay? They glorify the Lord, they have miracles. And a lot of their people are getting killed by the Muslims there too, you know? I mean, if you're a Christian, you know, it's not like it is here. Okay? John, calm down. Why so serious? I know, you're right to say, who am I to criticize? I'm not. I'm nobody. But it says in the book of Acts that the Bereans checked out what Paul was saying to see if it was true. And I take this stuff that I'm told is wonderful, and I look at the Bible, and the Bible gives me a different message. So how do I react? I don't react, God judge these people. I love those people. You know, more happening there than what I see, but still not enough. Okay, so what do we do? All I could do is say, what do you do? It's like, well, we left the last church. What do we do? I don't know. So we're going to pray. We pray. So I'm going to pray this morning. God, give us the Holy Spirit. How? Now, I told you this is born out of turmoil. Because I have met so many, I've seen the baptism of the Holy Spirit forced on so many people. I talked to a guy yesterday who was talking to somebody who's not living for the Lord at all, but he thinks they're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he asked him, how were you baptized with the Holy Spirit? Oh, my priest gave me a tape with the words on it. And I started repeating the words and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I know tapes aren't mentioned in the book of Acts, but I don't know about you, but something about that seems, yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's right. Okay. teaching people to talk in tongues. I don't see any biblical support for that whatsoever. Okay? I went through the study. I went through the book of Acts this week. And I really, I'm trying to ask how, God, please. There's no way I can get up and talk about where we're not at if I can't offer for where we need to be. Okay? So you guys have been with me long enough. I'm stepping out on an edge here. This is uncomfortable territory. And I'm not getting very pleasant looks from everybody this morning. Okay? That makes me nervous. And I mean, we need each other. Man, we need each other. I need you guys. Man, I couldn't stand up here without you guys. Okay? But I did a study in the book of Acts. There's five times in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit comes in and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Two times, there's only two instances where they actually laid hands on people. And we do that all the time. Well, there's three instances in the Holy Spirit where they didn't lay hands. While they're preaching or while they're praying, it just happens. Okay? And I told you last week, the most genuine infillings of the Holy Spirit, and this is just my opinion. This is not doctrine. This is not Bible. This is not necessarily how God wants to do it. I'm telling you my experience, which is very limited. The most genuine infillings of the Holy Spirit I've ever seen are when people are alone with God. Okay? The point is I'm making, there is no technique. Okay? Heart attitudes are top priority in all five of those. People were hungry. Or they heard it was available and said, yeah, we want that. I think the disciples, I think they were in a lot of situations where they didn't know what they were doing. But they were so convinced it was real, it didn't matter. They just called on God. God, fill them. Okay? Heart attitudes are top priority in those five instances. The technique and the administration of how it seemed to meant nothing. I want to see an outpouring that's greater than anything I've ever witnessed before.
Ah, of course, John, so you'd be able to say that you pastor Christchurch, the outpouring had there. You know what? If God kills me before it happens and I still see it from heaven, that's good. If I know I had a part in it, you know, that's good enough for me. Okay?
I want to see the devil tremble. I don't want to see my Jesus ridiculed anymore. And not only do they turn their back on him, they do this to him. And anybody that espouses him, I know the church is hypocritical. I know we brought a lawn on it ourselves. I know. But in Christ Church, we're aware of how weak we are. In Christ Church, we know how much we've fallen short. So we call on God and we say, God, help us make it right. Help us make it right. And we can't do that without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So I'm seeking God. Do you want this? I think he wants this for it. So I'm going to go down this path. Okay? I'm going to go down this path. I hope I don't drive you crazy with talking about the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether I will or not because I don't have an agenda. Every Sunday I'm wanting to get the mind of God. But man, the more I learn about what the real baptism of the Holy Spirit is, the more I realize, dear God, please. When that's available, why would I even want to try and serve God without it? Okay? We're not talking salvation here. We're talking about an empowerment that comes after. Now, I've never seen this scripture used in relation to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I think it fits. A lot of you know this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In mine, it's Pentecostal understanding. It's what I've learned in the church. It's what I've heard, okay? I'm not supposed to, in all your ways, in all my ways, submit to him. Oh, man. Do you know how stiff-necked I am? That's going to need a miracle right there. In all your ways, submit to him. That's his word. In all your ways, submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. In other words, he's going to lead you to where he wants to put you, okay? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Please, I am not an expert here. I'm just hungry for God, okay? Fear the Lord and shun evil. Look at that. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Run from evil. Fear the Lord. That means, hey, don't mess with your dad here, okay? He loves you, but don't think you can con him. I can't con him. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled and overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. I could care less about material wealth. Okay? When I read this, your barns will be filled overflowing. Your vats will brim with new wine. I think of the power of the Holy Ghost. I think of, I want to be filled with so much power that the whole world knows it and they can see it. And all they can think about is Jesus. That's what that means to me. What does the Bible say? I'm going down this road. Okay, how do you make this happen? I don't know. So I give you these words, okay? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be filled. Okay, there's a key right there. I gotta be hungry for it. I gotta thirst for it, because there's nothing more righteous than being filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not gonna have anything more righteous than that. And then this one. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, hey dad, I don't want a fish, will give him a snake instead? I give you a snake! Ha 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 ha! Okay? No. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, quit pretending. We need Jesus, okay? We all need Jesus. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So there's barriers there, but it's not him, okay? Now, I felt led to do something this morning that I have, you know, Heather's been with me for 38 years. She knows I've never done anything like this. And when I end up doing stuff I've never done before, I could be wrong, but I get the feeling that, you know what? God might be in that. That may be what God wants us to do. And usually when God asks you to do something, if it's God, it's not really a big thing. He just wants to see if you're going to be obedient. So I'm going to be obedient. One of the things I feel the Lord has told me is this is not about, well, you got to go to this meeting before you get the blessing. Or you got to be prayed with this guy before you do. That's not what the book of Acts teaches. Okay? That's not what the book of Acts teaches. I know the disciples had it. But the whopping majority of everybody that filled with the Holy Spirit in the first 30 years of the church, the disciples did not get around to pray for everybody. I'm sorry. Okay? I felt led to do this. I want our elders to come forward right now. Okay? That's Dave Kitts and Don and Teresa and Carol. If you come forward right now. And I want the council to come forward, too. You didn't know I was going to do this, but I'm doing this stuff all the time. You guys are kind of used to it by now, okay? Miriam, who's not? Christine's not here, okay? Heather, I want you to come forward and stand in for Christine, okay? You're my wife. I know you. Whenever she takes over instead of me, it's always a better service anyway. So okay, come on forward. Okay? I don't mean to make a spectacle of these guys, and I'm trusting in getting the mind of God. But this is what I'm going to do. This is anointing oil, okay? I'm going to anoint every one of them for the purpose of seeing people and praying with people that they could fill the Holy Spirit, okay? None of them would be nervous about that. Every one of them has prayed for people before. Bobby less than anybody else, but too bad. If he's gonna follow the Lord, it's not gonna be his experience. It's gonna be what God's already done in his life. And if anybody has confidence in what God has done in his life, it's me. Okay, I want you to pray with me, because if you feel weak or you feel like I need the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I will pray for you. I love praying for you, but it is not me that does the filling. And I mean, the disciples were present. And I'm doing this as a demonstration that all of us, he wants to give it to us. I don't know how to do it. This isn't how to do it. This is not how to do it. This is me feeling that God wanted me to go down a certain way, so I'm going to be obedient. And you know what? When you're obedient to the Lord in little things, it opens up for him to do great and mighty things, okay? Would you pray with me or close your eyes or whatever? And I'm going to do this pretty quick. I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the purpose of seeing people filled with the Holy Spirit. I anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the purpose of seeing people filled with the Holy Spirit. I anoint you in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit for the purpose of seeing the infilling of the Holy Spirit in others. I anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the sake of seeing others being filled with the Holy Spirit. I anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the purpose of seeing others being filled with the Holy Spirit. I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the purpose of seeing others filled with the Holy Spirit. I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, for the purpose of seeing others filled with the Holy Spirit. I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Holy Spirit, for the purpose of seeing others filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let's pray together. Would you pray with me, okay? I want you praying after me. We're praying together. Jesus, you just showed us in your word how much you want to fill us with the real baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know how often we stray. We call on you today as your united bride with one voice, agreeing together, come and fill us with the Holy Spirit that is more powerful than doctrine, that is more powerful than a denomination, that causes revolutions, that sends people to prison. But it doesn't matter, because you are Almighty God. Loose your power in this bride and keep us following you, Jesus, knowing that these three remain: faith, hope, but the greatest manifestation of your power and Holy Spirit is genuine, self-sacrificing love. We want that evidence of the Holy Spirit. We want that evidence more than anything, God. Change our hearts for people bound by sin. Change our hearts to the things we think are important that don't matter to you, God. Change our hearts to be committed to each other, to protect each other, to make this place a safe place wherever we are, where the broken can not only have their lives changed, but they can be empowered to change the world for your glory. We love you, Jesus, and we love each other too. Amen.